This is Jay Sekulow. James Clapper now says the president undermines the United States institutions.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The developments of the past week, very bothersome, very disturbing to me. I think in many ways our institutions are under assault, both externally, and that's the big news here, is Russian interference in our election system. And I think as well our institutions are under assault internally.
Internally from the president?
Exactly.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Senator Mark Warner, yes. He wants the Democratic Party to refuse to vote on the nomination of a new FBI director until a special prosecutor is appointed. Do you support that move?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of Democrats who feel that way. We'll have to discuss it as a caucus, but I would support that move because who the FBI director is related to who the special prosecutor is.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the last comment by Chuck Schumer is absolutely incorrect. The FBI director is not related to a special prosecutor. A special prosecutor is appointed by the Department of Justice, by the Attorney General, not the FBI director. So, number one, wrong there. Number two, James Clapper goes on air and says that Donald Trump is undercutting our institutions. First of all, by firing the FBI director. First of all, the FBI director serves under the executive branch of government. The president has the authority to fire him. He did, based on cause, and he terminated James Comey, which, as I said last week, many, many leading Democrats supported initially, except when it was President Trump doing it. Now, I'll tell you who's undercutting American institutions, and this is the hypocrisy of the whole thing. And Will Haynes, our producer, pointed this out in our pre-broadcast meeting. And this is very true. Here's the reality. Chuck Schumer saying that they're not going to elect go through the nomination process, have hearings, and confirm, which, by the way, he doesn't have the votes to do this, but he's threatening this, to appoint an FBI director because unless an independent counsel is appointing. So you tell me who's undercutting our institutions. He would hold up a director of the FBI because of a case involving an alleged Russian probe. This coming from Chuck Schumer. So you tell me who is undercutting U.S. institutions. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
I think we know exactly who is undercutting the functioning of the U.S. government. Congressional Democrats, led by people like Senator Chuck Schumer, who is their leader in the United States Senate, throwing out there that we won't let an FBI director be appointed until you appoint a special prosecutor. This has to happen one of the same, or else the FBI director that you appoint may somehow be involved in that process, which is, as you said, is completely false and inaccurate because the Department of Justice, and in this case, it would be the deputy AG because the attorney general recused himself,
right,
which they forced. The deputy AG would then be part of that discussion with a special, if there was even, by the way, this is assuming a special counsel gets appointed.
And, which I don't
and by
think
the
is
way,
happening.
No Republicans support that at this moment. So the Trump, again, they are going to have to fight this on Capitol Hill, rely on congressional allies, because you don't want the post of FBI director open too long, and especially not filled with an Obama-Clinton ally like Andrew McCabe.
And now they're talking, yeah, Andrew McCabe should be taken out of the mix immediately. They're also talking about Merrick Garland, U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. Some are saying that that's a move that only Donald Trump could think of. Actually, it was presented by Mitch McConnell, but it may have come at the president's urging to consider. Why? Because how are the Democrats going to say no to him? And he has, I don't know if he would do it. I don't know what the reality is. It also would give Donald Trump an ability to point someone to the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is the second most powerful court of appeals. It's the most powerful court of appeals in the country, second most powerful court next to the Supreme Court of the United States. So this is the intrigue as we start off Monday. Logan?
That's right. You can find us many different outlets broadcasting. You can give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today. You can also find us broadcasting live, video, like television on Facebook and on Periscope or at ACLJ.org. You can also find us later on archive, but for now, the ACLJ.org.
And by the way, Erdogan is coming to the United States tomorrow. We're advocating for Pastor Andrew Brunson. We'll have more on that in the second half hour of the broadcast. So stay tuned for that. We'll take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
An American pastor is wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey because of his religious faith. In just hours, President Erdogan of Turkey will meet at the White House with President Trump. This is a monumentally vital time for American pastor Andrew Brunson. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. We're submitting a critical legal document to the United Nations. The American people must unite with one voice. Bring our pastor home. Send a powerful message to Washington. Free Pastor Andrew Brunson now. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me set this back up again. So over the weekend, James Clapper says, let's play this bite. This is Jake Tapper.
Confusing with Tapper and Clapper.
Tapper and Clapper, not so easy. Jake Tapper
and James Clapper.
James Clapper. Here we go.
The developments of the past week, very bothersome, very disturbing to me. I think in many ways our institutions are under assault, both externally, and that's the big news here, is the Russian interference in our election system. And I think as well our institutions are under assault internally
from the president.
Exactly.
All right, I want to dissect that again, and then I want to play this founding fathers quote in a moment, but let me tell you what he's talking about. The president fired the FBI director. The FBI director is an executive branch appointee. Guess who he serves at? As by the way, James Comey acknowledged, the pleasure of the president. So he had the authority to do it. I'll tell you where the attack on the institutions are, and that is the Democrats, the left, saying we're not going to vote on a new FBI director unless a special counsel is appointed. Really? First of all, you don't have the votes to do that. But that's where the undercutting of the institutions are. So this is nonsense. It's like they don't read the Constitution. Three branches of government, remember? Executive, legislative, judicial. That's the way it works. They just forget it conveniently ignore it.
Or ignore it. And they try and figure out how they can use this for their political advantage. Remember, this is playing politics with a law enforcement, national security. But it's also that attempt to undermine anything the Trump administration is trying to do. So whether it's cleaning up the FBI, which has been a mess. And remember, people like Schumer said they lost faith in confidence in Jim Comey. But they want to keep this Comey story alive as long as possible because it keeps the Russia story alive as long as possible. They're going to keep trying to tie this to if you want us to move forward with replacing an FBI director, then you're going to have to appoint a special counsel because we don't trust that your FBI director would get involved. That then presupposes that they will appoint a special counsel, which they cannot force the executive branch to do.
But there's something else here. Remember on Friday, all the noise in the media about the president has sent out a Twitter saying, James Comey, better be careful what you say. Who knows if you were recorded in the White House? And people, I can't believe the president said that. What happened after? I think we were off air already.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? James Comey decided not to appear before the United States Senate. So you know what I said on Hannity on Friday night? Checkmate to the president. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know if it was recorded or not. I was in the office on Thursday with the president. I don't know if it was recorded or not. If it was, play it. I don't care. Here's the thing. James Comey said, I'm not going to testify. The president just sent out his tweet. I don't know if he's playing the media perfectly or not. If you do, you make be the judge of that, Logan. You tell me what you think. But I think it was a media move, and it ended up working.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to get blowback and flack from people. But you're right. If it ends up working, what does it matter?
He did. Yeah, he did until all the air was sucked out of the balloon when Jim Comey and the liberals, of course, didn't want to make a big deal about.
Yeah, the problem is that doesn't get reported.
Yeah, right. Barely got reported.
I didn't even know until right now.
They act like it was no big deal. Now the fact is, Jim Comey would have absolutely testified. Now he's saying he only wants to do it in the public. And he only wants to do it in the public then because he doesn't have to talk about anything classified. He can keep going back to those classified or I can't. Right. You know, that's his favorite line when he testifies. Yeah. I can't talk about that in this open forum. But the fact that he won't do it in that closed briefing.
Tells you everything.
Actually says the most because in that briefing he cannot use that excuse, which means he would have to answer those questions. And so I believe that that tweet, like the style of it or not, totally took the air out of Jim Comey. I don't even know if we'll hear from him again.
I think it's a
big question.
I think that's right.
In a real setting. I mean,
Logan saying that, you know, he didn't even know what happened until it happened. Until James Comey today went listening on radio. It got no coverage.
Right. I know.
James Comey said, I'm not testifying into a closed door meeting because then I'd have to give real answers. That's what it really meant. And if I do it in public, I don't have to give any answers. So, President, I said, checkmate. All right, let's go ahead and take some comments and some calls.
All right, let's go ahead. This is from Mary Jane on Facebook. Said, does Congress have to approve the new FBI director or is President just appoint one?
No, he appoints. They have to. The Senate has the right advice and consent, but it's a 51 vote. Jordan, I mean, they're not going to be able to block it.
No, they can procedurally try and slow things down in the U.S. Senate, but they're not going to have – if the right person's nominated, the way it works now, they're not going to have the votes to stop it. I mean – They can again make life a little bit more difficult for the Republicans who lead the U.S. Senate. They're playing politics with this. This is their line of attack. Don't fall into it. President Trump can appoint that FBI director. Mitch McConnell can put it on the calendar and force the vote.
I think that's exactly correct. All right, let's take a phone call.
All right, let's go to Jerry, who's calling from Maine in line one.
Hey, Jerry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a comment and a question. My comment is that it seems like the Democrats are playing with one set of rules, and then when the Republicans are in charge, the rules are totally different. And then my question is do you think that the president and the Democrats in Congress will ever find common ground?
It's very partisan right now. Like I said, I was with the president last Thursday on discussing a number of issues, including the visit tomorrow by Erdogan to the United States. That is the prime minister of Turkey in our case involving Andrew Brunson. But I was there to discuss a number of issues. And I think right now it's about as divided politically, Jordan, as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a time when the Democrats' main strategy is not to just try and get their compromises in on legislation when they're in minority party in both houses of Congress, but they're attempting to stop everything. Now, so far, they haven't been so successful. I mean, health care ultimately got through the House. Now it's going to be at the Senate. They will try and stop that. But again, it really is up to Republicans.
Yeah.
Again, on the confirmation battles, it will be up to Republicans because the Senate Democrats, by filibustering Neil Gorsuch, have changed all the rules for that. And the rules were already changed for the lower people, like an FBI director. That only needs 51 votes. So a lot of this is playing politics towards the midterm election already. And because of that, expect nothing. You may get a few crossovers every once in a while from a Democrat in a red state. But from the Democrat leadership, they are going to be whipping, organizing all of their members to do everything possible to stop the Trump agenda. And that means even appointments that would be usually pretty bipartisan.
All right. We are taking your calls, of course, at 1-800-684-3110. But this issue of who's really undercutting the institutions, as we're laying the case out for you, it's really the Senate left and the House left, but mostly the Senate right now. Here is, again, Jake Tapper with Chuck Schumer. Take a listen.
Senator Mark Warner,
yes.
He wants the Democratic Party to refuse to vote on the nomination of a new FBI director until a special prosecutor is appointed. Do you support that move?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of Democrats who feel that way. We'll have to discuss it as a caucus, but I would support that move because who the FBI director is related to who the special prosecutor is.
Which, again, is a false statement. The FBI, a special prosecutor would be appointed by the deputy attorney general in this case, not the FBI director. But this is who's undercutting the institution. Let's try to grab another call, Logan.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Jerry. We already went to Jerry in Maine. My call screener is not working.
Why don't we try Scott? He's on line three.
Yep, in Colorado.
Hey, okay, Scott. Guys. Hey, great. Thanks for my call. I have a question. Since we have one of the most secure election systems in the world, if there was any Russian influence favoring Trump in the election process that Clapper's implying, wouldn't have Obama done everything he could do to stop that?
You would think. I mean, it's a real observation. You would think, wouldn't that make perfect sense? That in the world we live in, if he really thought there was Russian interference with the election, and by the way, not any evidence of a vote changed, not any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. That was, by the way, from Clapper, and also from Sally Yates. So this is a manufactured discussion right now. I mean, this is all this is politics. And they're getting very desperate in this, because I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. No one's reporting about this, but I think it's significant. President sends out a tweet. He gets a lot of flack for it. I thought it was a pretty interesting move. Sends it out a tweet. I'm looking at it from a strategy standpoint. Sends out a tweet. Say, hey, you know, James Comey, you're going to go testify. Make sure you tell the truth, because you don't know if you were the conversations in my office were recorded or not. And then the next thing you know, which nobody reports, except I did it on Sean Hannity's broadcast on Fox on Friday night, was that James Clapper decided he's not testifying. Excuse me. James Comey is not going to testify. Why is he not going to testify? He's not going to testify because he doesn't want to do it in private, because then he would actually ask to testify. If he does it in public, he could just say, I can't discuss it. So there you have it. So I said, checkmate to the President of the United States.
Yeah,
politically.
I mean, I think that is the truth, and it did not get enough attention. So let me make it clear to everybody who's listening, watching right now. Jim Comey had a chance tomorrow to testify to the U.S. Senate in private, to tell them all the dirty details he wanted to about, you know, he didn't have to worry about things being classified. They all have those security clearances. And instead, he chose not to. Why? Because he'd have to testify about all the dirty details. He'd have to be able to speak open and honestly. And that tweet from Donald Trump, call it a threat, whatever you like, has caused Jim Comey to only want to do this out in the open. And why? Because out in the open, he really can't answer any of the questions.
Right.
As FBI director, he can constantly just say, you know what, that's classified, I shouldn't talk about it in this kind of open setting. Jim Comey has effectively been silenced by Donald Trump's tweet.
Yeah, I think so. The tweet silenced the former FBI director. Say whatever you want. All right, we're back with another segment of the broadcast coming up. Logan, let everybody know what they can do. Comments coming in, calls, lines I think are jammed, but we're trying to figure that out on our screen right now.
Yep, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110. You can also send in a comment. Facebook, Periscope, or Twitter. They're being monitored. We get many of those during the show and during the break. So we never end. We never take a break. We actually keep going or show exclusive videos on social media.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. An American pastor is wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey because of his religious faith. In just hours, President Erdogan of Turkey will meet at the White House with President Trump. This is a monumentally vital time for American pastor Andrew Brunson. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. We're submitting a critical legal document to the United Nations. The American people must unite with one voice. Bring our pastor home. Send a powerful message to Washington. Free Pastor Andrew Brunson now. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. By the way, Jay Sekulow Band live tonight in concert on Facebook, I think on Periscope as well, but certainly on Facebook for sure. And it'll be about 8:30 Eastern time, a lot of new tunes. You're going to like it. We're going to be jamming out here in our media center. All right, we're going to go right to phone calls and comments. And what kind of comments are we getting on Facebook, or do you want to go to a call first?
This question said, does it confirm, do you think, that Comey has something to hide?
Okay. I think this is something we should talk about. So Comey not testifying, I think what Jordan said is right. I mean, he didn't testify. He wanted to testify in public because he could say, I can't discuss it because it's confidential communications or it's classified. If he did it in private, he'd have to discuss it. So I think, yes. I mean, I don't know if it's something personally to hide, but he probably told the president three times, you're not subject to an investigation.
Yeah, and which again would raise questions amongst Democrats. Why did you do that? Was that proper to do? Is that even true? So you didn't then have to answer that question. Was at so long as you were FBI director up until that last week, was that true that he was not under investigation? And what's the extent of that? And then why do we keep hearing that Russia is being investigated when you do these public open testimonies? If you're not even investigating the principal and you've assured the principal multiple times that they personally are not. So what is the point, Jim Comey? He would not be able to just say, I can't talk about that in this kind of hearing. So I think he would rather do the public hearing where he can just rely on taking digs at the president without having to actually answer any questions. And I'm not sure. We'll see if these committees are going to give him that opportunity to do that publicly. I think that would be pointless because, again, on the real information, he's not going to answer anything. He's just going to continue to take digs at those he disagrees with, that you know, digs that are not classified. But when he gets asked direct questions about anything that could be potentially classified or private information, he'll say, I can't talk about it in this setting. And that's if he doesn't take the fifth. I mean, we don't know. Jim Comey has got a lot of issues. His lawyers are probably pouring over right now because of how he handled the Clinton election issue. This is someone who could have to take the fifth because they could be potentially in violation of election law.
All right, we're taking calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I'm sure we've got one open line, so if you want to give us a call, go ahead and do it. Do you want
to take let's go to Don in California on line five.
Hey, Don, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, why doesn't President Trump say, I'm going to announce a special counsel, but I'm going to expand it to include any surveillance that may have been done on me or any communication that there may have been with the Clinton Foundation?
Well, he doesn't appoint a special counsel. That comes from the attorney general. In this particular case, it would come from the deputy attorney general. And look, I think by firing the FBI director, and the president told me this in the Oval Office, and it's true, he realizes he extended the life of the Russia investigation because a new FBI director coming in is going to want to start looking at things fresh. But he said he did it for the best interest of the country. But did it probably extend the investigation? Yes. But he was willing to take that on to move James Comey out, who had bipartisan support to be removed. Period. That's the end of the discussion. And I think McCabe, the deputy, should not be in this mix. Let me be crystal clear on that. He was part of the problem when we had the IRS cases. He's been involved in some of these others. He should not be in the mix. Period. All right.
Back to the phones.
All right. Let's go to Becky, who's calling in Daytona. You're on the air.
Hey, Becky.
Hi. I'm just wondering if Clapper, Schumer, and Maxine Waters, are they coming up for re-election? Can we vote them out on the next time around? Or
Clapper is not an elected official. He was former head of the intelligence agency, defense intelligence.
DNI?
DNI, yeah. Or not DNI. It was DNI. So he was the head of DNI. And then you had Maxine Waters. She is up every 2 years. She's in a very safe Democrat district in California. So her constituents, so long as she wants to run, she's going to keep getting reelected. Chuck Schumer, I don't believe is up for reelection.
No.
But even if he was, again, blue state of New York, I think he would be elected easily because the liberals like the actions that he's taken. Don't forget that. On the other side of the aisle, they like this. They like the fighting back. And listen, Republicans could probably fight back a little bit better. I mean, we talk a lot about how Donald Trump is shouldering much of this on his own because, again, I think you have pretty weak Republicans who don't fight back in a way the Democrats do. That's very good. My personal opinion.
All right.
All right. Let's continue on. Let's go to Wendy before we take a break here.
All right, Wendy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Hey. Thank you for your work.
Sure.
I have a question.
Yep.
Why does the committee not just subpoena him? And if he does, he'll probably take the fifth. And what can we do if he does take the fifth?
If he takes the fifth, there's nothing you could do. I mean, the constitutional right to take the Fifth Amendment. Here's the thing. I don't think the committee is going to subpoena James Comey because he was fired and it's done. So could the Democrats, they'd have to get the Senate majority to say, yes, we will issue a subpoena to James Comey. And I don't see the support for that. James Comey was asked to testify in private to the committee so that he could discuss what he really knows. He declined to do that after the Trump tweet. I suspect it's because he probably did tell the president three times, you're not subject to this, as I've already said. But I don't see the political reality, Jordan, at this point, of a subpoena being issued on James Comey.
No, not yet. Not unless, for some reason, that would benefit President Trump and the Republicans, because if they thought that they had something on Jim Comey where he would have to take the fifth, like I was talking about. Like, basically, he's worried about incriminating himself, and they want to get that done on camera. So if you had that kind of situation with Jim Comey, then you might issue a subpoena, forced him to come and testify, and then know via his attorneys that he was just going to take the fifth on any questions. That may be something you want, because it doesn't incriminate you criminally, but it sure does incriminate you when you take the fifth in the court of public opinion.
I'm just not so sure we're going to hear from James Comey again. I think he may be, I mean, in public life, I think, you know, he may get on boards or whatever he does, but I think his public life is over.
Yeah, I mean,
he got fired.
And what boards? I don't know would want to fire an FBI director right now, but maybe some liberal schools, universities, I'm sure would be interested in him. He can take that kind of, get out of public life for a few months and then reappear as someone who no one remembers.
Yeah, but I think the days of James Scott, I think the president did what he had to do and he did it successfully. All right, we've got 2 minutes left, Logan. We don't have time for a call. Any comments you want to take or you want to?
We can take a comment. This is from Janine, said should McCabe be removed?
Well, yeah, that you're talking about. McCabe is, of course, that's a good question, is the deputy FBI director. I think so. I think that his service to the country should come to an end. He made a disclosure issue on a disclosure form about political contributions. His wife took money from Terry McAuliffe's PAC, didn't disclose that in his FBI, saying he didn't have to. I just think, look, if you're cleaning house, clean house.
Yeah, I would like to see him go. I don't know if they will make that move before they've got a replacement, because then it would just be another person on the chain, likely Obama people anyway. So you need your replacement. I think then once you've got your replacement in, McCabe, you can fire McCabe. You can ask McCabe to resign. He may do it on his own as well.
I'd like to know on Facebook and Periscope, and we could take this on radio too. What do you think about this idea that's being floated about Merrick Garland? He's the U.S. He's the chief judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. He was President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court. He didn't move forward, but they've been talking about him as a potential director of the FBI. He's a former prosecutor. He's prosecuted some big cases. What do you all think about that? That's an interesting.
I'd like to know if he's okay with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism and instructing his FBI agents to use terminology like that to find terrorists in the United States. I'm not sure. He's a moderate, but will he implement policies like that effectively? That would be my only concern.
I think it's a good question. All right, Logan, we're here for another 30 minutes.
Yep, you can find us online, acljay.org, facebook.com/jsecular, or find us on Periscope, broadcasting live on all those outlets. If we lose you here, you can get us later archived on the ACLJ app, JSecular Live podcast, or all of it is available at acljay.org. But again, we got another half hour coming up, so join us on all those outlets.
An American pastor is wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey because of his religious faith. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We're submitting a critical legal document to the United Nations. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
to the broadcast, everyone. So let's kind of recast what's happened here over the weekend. James Clapper goes on and says, I'm worried that the institutions of the United States are being attacked, both from without and from within. Without the Russians, within the president of the United States. I want to play for you the sound on this. It's very, very important you hear this. Take a listen.
The developments of the past week, very bothersome, very disturbing to me. I think in many ways our institutions are under assault, both externally, and that's the big news here, is the Russian interference in our election system.
So there you have that. So it's, you know, he says it's under attack externally, but internally because of the president. Really? Because he fired the FBI director, who, by the way, serves under the executive, so he, president, has the authority to. So that's undercutting an institution. That's firing somebody for cause. Now, he also laid out the Founding Fathers line, which I find ironic. Take a look at the, take a listen to this one.
Because he's firing the checks and balances.
Well, I think the Founding Fathers, in their genius, created a system of three co-equal branches of government and a built-in system of checks and balances. And I feel as though that's under assault and is eroding.
James Clapper has no idea. This was the guy that was ahead of the DNI? Really? Because the checks and balances are the checks of the legislative on the executive, the judicial on the legislative, and vice versa. It doesn't say that the president can't fire somebody that serves in the executive, which is what happened in this case. Okay, let's remember what happened in this case. So this is nonsense coming from the left. Nonsense coming from the left.
Yeah, and people who you think are really smart, who you realize are bureaucrats and part of a system, and thank goodness they're no longer in charge of our national intelligence, which was a complete failure, by the way. It's interesting to me that people like James Clapper and others, they even do these interviews proudly as if they did a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you'd be fairly ashamed of yourself with the amount of terror that was happening in our country under their watch, and the shift in the kind of terror attacks we saw in our country under their watch, and yet they come so boldly forward and try to start being constitutional lawyers,
and
talking about checks and balances within one branch of government. I mean, they forget. They are not elected officials. They are not the politicians.
Right.
They work for the number one elected official in the executive branch. And even in the case of the FBI director, you just have to have a reason for firing them. And that's exactly what they had via the Department of Justice memo. But they were like, I mean, you could have written a book on reasons why to fire Jim Comey, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's take Andy's call on line five, Logan.
Hi, Andy in Philadelphia, you're on the air.
Hi, Andy, go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Great show. I hope you start your network that you were talking about last week. But about Garland, right now live on Fox, they're talking about the same question with Garland being nonpartisan. I don't feel that's true and not good for the country because he was nominated for a Supreme Court by Barack Obama, and anyone Barack Obama nominated should never have been passed.
Well, I mean, saying he's nonpartisan is absurd. He's a Democratic appointee to the court. Now, he's a moderate on the court. He's certainly not a conservative. But I think Jordan asked the fundamental question. Will you implement the policies of the president? And that includes calling the jihadists what they are. Jihadists, and I'm not sure he will.
Yeah, in the training memorandums, in the way
manuals,
that the FBI's the agents are instructed, the field agents, to monitor and what terminology they use. We've talked extensively on this broadcast about the importance of the terminology used when attempting to identify potential terrorists, and that's one of the key jobs of the FBI, he'd have to be comfortable implementing the policy of the Trump administration. We've seen those like Sally Yates and others who were not. And this is a day where that travel pause and the refugee pause is up again at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's what I'm going to be on Fox Business about at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And again, all three judges in that case, Clinton appointees.
Yep.
I mean, this is at one head in the Supreme Court. But as FBI director, would he really be effective? I think he'd have to answer that question to President Trump and to members of Congress who are not just willing to make a deal here. But it would open up a seat, I want to remind people, a very powerful appellate court seat.
No doubt about it. All right, we're here. We're taking more calls and comments when we come back.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110 to get your comments in on social media. Exclusive video coming up in the break. Confirmed?
Yes.
We have exclusive video coming in the break if you're watching online. Take a listen to that. Take a watch if you're watching online. Again, log on over to Facebook.com/JSeculo, ACLJ.org, and Periscope.
Yeah, we may get into a little bit of a discussion about Turkey with Erdogan's visit tomorrow. We're deciding that now.
A
An American pastor is wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey because of his religious faith. In just hours, President Erdogan of Turkey will meet at the White House with President Trump. This is a monumentally vital time for American pastor Andrew Brunson. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. We're submitting a critical legal document to the United Nations. The American people must unite with one voice. Bring our pastor home. Send a powerful message to Washington. Free Pastor Andrew Brunson now. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Who's undermining who? Kind of, that's the statement of the day. Is it James Clapper and James Comey undermining the Constitution? I believe that's kind of more like it is. I think the president exercises constitutional authority. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about a visit tomorrow by Erdogan, Prime Minister of Turkey. That's going to be a big one. I want to start, and we'll take your calls on all these topics at 1-800-684-3110. Let me start with Jordan on this. You have been to Turkey. You have seen what is going on. What's your assessment of this meeting tomorrow? And I'll tell you what the president told me in a moment.
I think it's very high stakes, especially in the battle against the Islamic State. So it's a multifaceted. You've got the battle against the Islamic State and what's happening, and of course the Assad regime in Syria. You have to remember that Turkey is a NATO ally, though they have been, again, they have acted unlike any other NATO ally because they have even bombed those groups that we have backed in the fight against ISIS. That being said, they've also taken in more refugees than any other country in the world when it comes to the war in Syria. So you have a lot of different areas to balance. But I think when it's Trump and Erdogan one-on-one,
yeah,
that is strongman versus strongman. You've got to rise to the level of an Erdogan. He is not just like an elected official that you may be meeting in Europe and other NATO allies. This is someone more similar to Putin, who has been consolidating power at a more rapid pace than Vladimir Putin ever was able to do. I mean, he's done it within just a matter of years. Putin has been trying, working on all this consolidation, and he's but similar. They've taken that same path of president, then they became prime minister, and they president again, then they changed the constitution. That just happened again in Turkey with a referendum that Erdogan won.
So we have, of course, an American pastor, Andrew Brunson, that we're working aggressively on to get out of prison. I was with the president and the vice president last week in the Oval Office for a meeting and brought this up. And what's interesting, I think important, was the president and the vice president also said, this is going to be a tough talk, really tough talk with Erdogan. So again, the NATO ally. So Wes, I want to get your kind of take on this as a former colonel in the United States Army. The president said to me, right to my face, this is going to be a tough conversation.
Yeah, and it's tough, not just because Turkey is objecting to our arming the Kurdish forces in the area. Certainly, that is part of the catalyst for the differences of opinion. Turkey has not been a reliable ally. They actually are a threat to the U.S.-led coalition to fight ISIS there. They have objected ever since the first of the year to our plan to take Raqqa. They want to use Arab forces and exclude the Kurds.
Right.
They, as we know, last month bombed Kurdish forces where we had U.S. special operators co-located. They gave our troops about an hour's notice to get out of the area. Turkey is shelling the border town in Syria of Tel Abyad. Tel Abyad is a town that ISIS held, and the Kurdish forces liberated the town from ISIS, and they now control it. And so Turkey is launching artillery strikes across the border against these forces that we are arming and supporting.
But so it's a direct confrontation in a sense, almost. I mean, in a sense. I mean, it's certainly asymmetrical, but it is a situation where it's almost like proxy fighting.
It is, but it points to something a lot larger than just the tactics on the battlefield. As I mentioned during the break, there is a deep strategic divergence between Turkey and the U.S. right now, which is unprecedented with a NATO ally. And there's several aspects to it. First of all, Erdogan is seeking to reassert Turkey's dominance in the region in the tradition of the old Ottoman empire. And he's using the spread of Islam to do this, that if he is seen as a champion of their faith, then the other...
He wants to be the caliph.
The other regional leaders will look up to him and give him more power. It is not coincidental that the name of his political party is the Islamic Justice and Development Party.
Yeah.
Fourthly, Erdogan is trying to consolidate the tools of state in Turkey in order to gain more and more authoritative power. And finally, he is supporting Salafi jihadist groups in order to do this. And all of these things on a strategic level are counter, they're antithetical to U.S. policy, not only in Western Asia, but in Europe.
But he also called last week for basically the Muslim world to take over the Dome of the Rock area.
Yes. Flood with millions.
Yes.
Millions of Muslims to flood the Dome of the Rock. And that is, again, this kind of rhetoric that goes back to the days when Erdogan was a local political leader, Islamist political leader in Turkey who'd been in prison, who talked about the symbols of Islam in a military sense, that the domes of the mosque were like the helmets and the minarets were like the guns and the spears. And so, again, he has used this kind of militaristic Islamic language before to build his base up, because his base in Turkey, like for many of these strongmen, and especially those of the Islamic world, his base is not the major cities of Turkey, which are much more European than anywhere else in a predominantly Muslim country. In fact, if you took a snapshot, you would not think that you were looking at a predominantly Muslim country. But you get outside of those cities, it gets more Islamist, more, and that's who he's appealing to with these very hardline statements that should not be coming out of the mouth of a NATO ally's leader.
Let me play for you some of the sound that came out of a translated news conference just the other day over the weekend. Here it is.
We don't find it suitable at all for the United States to stand side by side with a terrorist organization. I see this visit as a new beginning.
So the terrorist organization he's talking about is actually the Kurds, who have been our big ally in the region and have helped with, at least their troops are actually military forces. So this is, but I was with the president. And he was very clear that this was going to be a very tough and firm conversation that he was going to have with President Erdogan.
Right. And the Syrian Kurds, they are not linked directly to terrorism. However, because Turkey and especially Erdogan is very threatened by the presence of any Kurds along the border, he is lumping the YPG, which is the Syrian Kurdish forces, with the PKK. The PKK is a terrorist group that we recognize as a terrorist group.
Right.
He lumps all the Kurds together.
Yeah. All right. Let's take Brian, who's calling on line five. He's got a question on Turkey. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, with regard to Erdogan, since he increasingly is headed towards what seems to be a dictatorship, what steps are possible for, should he deepen that, to get them out of NATO?
Well, look, here's the thing. I mean, there is a inherent risk with not having Turkey as part of NATO. I don't think you want to go there until you absolutely have to. Because they play such a vital role in our ability to utilize bases, military access to that region. So it is, you got to be thinking nine-dimensionally here. So Erdogan is difficult. He may be fighting against us in other areas, but I don't think you want to throw him out of NATO at this point, Jordan.
No, I mean, they've got the Black Sea, they're the Mediterranean, a major, you know, they've got, they border Iran. They are right on where Ukraine, Russia, and the Crimea. So they're centrally located throughout in Europe and the Middle East, and in two places where we're dealing with a lot of conflict and potential conflict, they can play an important role. Sometimes you have to look outside the domestic problems.
Right.
How does this benefit the United States and NATO? And I don't think we're at a point yet where you want Turkey out of NATO. Now, it may be that Erdogan wants NATO to vote them out, in a sense, that force them out so that he can use that to his own political advantage, kick Americans out of U.S. bases in Turkey or utilizing Turkish air bases and ports and places like that. I think he probably would at least play with that idea. Now, the question I think is you don't want to let him go down that route. You want to keep him in his lane as a NATO member and keep reminding him of that, agreed to.
Yeah, I agree with Jordan. However, Erdogan sees his future as far as his power and influence goes in the Islamic world. That's why he is casting himself as a defender of the faith, because all of the other Islamic governments in the area, he wants to have tremendous power and influence with them. The other thing that I think is alarming is that he has begun to take steps improving his relationships both with Russia and Iran.
Even though he shot an Russian jet down last year.
Right.
Yeah, aircraft.
He sees not only the Islamic world as his power base, but also, I think, using Iran and Russia. And Iran and Russia, of course, are against NATO. So he might, like Jordan said, let us kick him out of NATO or withdraw and then use that as leverage.
We've done a series of papers at the Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy at Oxford, and we have published an extensive array of papers. I think they're going to be available tomorrow with some abstracts as well on the website during the visit. All right, we're going to be taking more calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We cleared through a lot of calls, so we'll be able to take your calls when you call us. But again, if you're late to the broadcast, there's a lot going on in Washington. It's going to be a big week. Jordan, do you think we'll get an FBI director this week?
We may get a name before President Trump heads to the foreign travel begins. I mean that, but that's all it will be at this point is a name. The meetings are ongoing now. They've listed as many as six to even 10. Well, 10 people being considered. So ultimately, is it possible we get a name before the foreign trip? Yes, or that we'll get a name during the trip while the president is overseas.
Yeah, I think that process is ongoing. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to our last segment of the broadcast. We'll talk about any issue that you want to talk about. We've got some phone lines open for you at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We are working aggressively on Andrew Brunson's case talking about Turkey. And I was there at the White House last week making his case. Again, aclj.org. If you want to help out on that, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. And also, connect with us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Periscope. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Even the J Secular Band has a page on Facebook. We encourage you to do that. We're going to be back with more, including your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 in just a moment. Back with more.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. An American pastor is wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey because of his religious faith. In just hours, President Erdogan of Turkey will meet at the White House with President Trump. This is a monumentally vital time for American pastor Andrew Brunson. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. We're submitting a critical legal document to the United Nations. The American people must unite with one voice. Bring our pastor home. Send a powerful message to Washington. Free Pastor Andrew Brunson now. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Last segment of the broadcast. By the way, Jay Sekulow Band live tonight at about 8, between 8 and 8:30 on East Coast time. So you're going to want to do that. Coming here from our new media center. We're going to have a lot of fun. The whole group is in town. If you're all listening to us on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share this with your friends. We're going to go right to the phones because we got a lot of calls coming in. We'll get some Facebook comments as well.
Let's go to Sonia in Indiana online too. Sonia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sonia. Go ahead.
Hi. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
My question, thank you. My question is, would it have been politically more beneficial for the president to have asked for Comey's resignation rather than him being fired?
My concern with asking for the resignation is the guy could see Comey because he's got an ego saying no. And then you have to fire him. So I think what the president did was right. Fire him. There was wide bipartisan support for him not being the FBI director until it became politically expedient for the left to have him as the FBI director. That's what this was all about. I think the president took – when I was in the White House, the president said to me, Jay, I want to be very clear about this. I, the president, made the decision to fire James Comey. It was the president's decision based on data he had, but he made the decision. Nobody else. It was the president's decision.
Yeah. All right. Back to the phones we go. We take some comments as well, just a quick on Turkey. Sandra, what is Turkey's relationship with Israel?
Well, it used to be very good, and it's not now because once they decided to go, they used to do joint military exercises together, but not anymore. It's now been, it's better than it was, say, 2 years ago, but it's still very bad. And when you talk about having the leader of Turkey, Jordan, saying we're going to flood the Al-Aqsa Mosque, flood the Dome of the Rock, it creates a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get to the phones. And we'll go back to comments as well. Let's go to William in California on line 3. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, William. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Thank you.
Sure.
I've been hearing that Jeff Sessions, if he was to be fully recused, that he should not be involved in the selection of the new FBI director.
I don't think that's right. I think he recused from the Russian case. He is not recused from being the Attorney General of the United States, but the decision is ultimately made by the president. The attorney general, the deputy attorney general will certainly be reviewing the various people being considered, but ultimately the decision will be President Trump's. That's just the way it works. That's the way it is supposed to work. And I don't think changing that would be the right way to go on this, Drew. I think that would be very dangerous if you start taking the FBI director reports to the Department of Justice.
Yeah, that's right. I think that is, you don't need to make these kind of moves to try and appease the left. To try and appease Democrats. It's not going to work. There's no compromising with the left here. You've just got to make an appointment, someone that you trust, probably someone somewhat outside of the partisan politics from the law enforcement community, and let them go through the process, which only needs 51 votes to get confirmed.
Interesting question came in from Becky on Facebook. Jay, who do you think should be the replacement for James Comey? I like people like Larry Thompson, former Deputy Attorney General under George W. Bush, worked for John Ashcroft. I know Larry. I've known Larry a long time. We're friends. Brilliant. Great lawyer. Great investigator. Tremendous integrity. I think he would be phenomenally just exceptional. So he'd be one I certainly would have him on the list. There's been talk about John Cornyn. John Cornyn served as the Attorney General or Solicitor General of Texas. Maybe the Attorney General of Texas, I think, actually. And he also served as a U.S. Senator. So he understands that. So I think he'd be a good choice if you wanted to go somebody with already inside a government. So that's how I view it right now. But look, it's ultimately going to be the president's choice. And I'll tell you who's very good. Up in New Hampshire, her name initially came up. It's not coming up as much right now. That's the Senator Kelly Ayotte.
Former Senator, yep.
Yeah, I did a case with her at the Supreme Court of the United States and she on against Planned Parenthood. She did a great job. So she's one that's being considered as well. All right.
Yep. Let's go to Mary in Wisconsin on line 4. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Mary.
Hello, good-looking guys again.
Yeah.
my comment.
You're embarrassing us when you say that.
I know. Okay. I love it. You guys are so cute, though.
Thank you. But anyway. Go ahead with your great question before I hit the delay or drop button. No, go ahead. I'm kidding. Go ahead. You're on the air. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. No, I would like to see Trey Gowdy stay where he is.
Yeah.
We need him in there.
Well, look, Trey, now go ahead and finish.
No, that's good. Trey rocks, but he rocks where he is.
Well, I'm a big fan of Trey Gowdy. We've represented Trey Gowdy in cases before the Supreme Court. He signed under our briefs. He's a prosecutor's prosecutor. He plays a vital role in the United States Congress.
Yes. I mean, now he's from a safe district. Yes. So you would not have to worry about a Republican winning his seat. He's not in a place where, if you take Trey Gowdy out, a Republican can't win. You have to look at the politics of it, whether, one, he's interested in that. He's been involved in some partisan attacks. So it may be a more difficult road, though I don't think impossible, in the U.S. Senate. And we've got a caller, Marianne, who feels the opposite way. I mean, I think that everybody likes Trey Gowdy. It's where they want to see someone like that. And I think that, again, folks out there tend to go with someone that they kind of are familiar with.
And have a facial recognition.
And usually with these positions, you don't.
No, because you normally don't know the name of the FBI. Do you remember three FBI directors ago? Most people don't remember Mueller.
Who served like a double.
He
served a double term
because
of 9/11. He was actually extended his term. So, I mean, he was there a long time, the second longest to J. Edgar Hoover. And most people don't know who he is. Yep.
All right, let's go to Marianne, though. She had a comment. Marianne, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank all three of you for what you do.
Thanks.
I really feel that Trey Gowdy, if he wasn't put in as in Comey's place, I think he would be the president would be holding him back, because I've seen every YouTube watching him question.
Well, look, he's a brilliant prosecutor, and no doubt he'd be qualified to be the FBI director. And it would be a question of whether he wants that. It's a question of, I've seen him on the list, Jordan. I mean, we are seeing him on the list. But he's a valuable member of the United States House, though. I mean, so that's part of the calculation. Like Jordan said, it's a safe list. But he's certainly qualified.
Yes, sir, qualified. But again, he'd have to make that decision. And I think he would be, this is not to say that I believe he'd be controversial, but Democrats would sure make an issue
because of
someone
Benghazi.
Like Trey Gowdy. Yeah, because he's a partisan Republican who's very upfront, very direct, very vocal.
Which we like.
Which we all like, and I think all of our listeners like. I think President Trump probably likes, so I'm sure he's getting counsel saying maybe you need somebody more, down the road. And a lot of this comes to the Senate. They're going to have to get the person confirmed and in the job.
All right, let's take the last call. Nathan is calling on line one. Nathan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Jay, are you guys, and should we be concerned with North Korea successfully firing that missile?
I think the answer on North Korea is yes. We should be concerned. China is really dropping a much harder line on North Korea right now. We haven't had time to get into it today, where they have stopped. They are not accepting any of the coal shipments coming in from North Korea, which is one of their mainstays economically. So now the Chinese are starting to get the message that the United States is none too happy about this. So I think you got to take it seriously. He's not stable. And when you don't have a stable leader, you've got to be concerned.
Yeah, I think concern is the right word, not panic.
No.
But concern. And we know that our administration, they have been building up the military assets in that region capable of striking if necessary, if it got to that point. I think that we have a capable military to protect us. But we do have an unpredictable enemy, an adversary in North Korea.
All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget, Jay Sekulow Band live tonight around 8 to 8:30 Eastern Time, live from our media center. The entire band's going to be in town, so we're looking forward to that. A lot of the guys have been on the road, but they're going to all be here. Don't forget that. Also, connect with us on social media, Facebook, Periscope. Like our pages. I've got a page. ACLJ has a page. Jordan has a page. Even the band has a page. Do that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
An American pastor is wrongfully imprisoned in Turkey because of his religious faith. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We're submitting a critical legal document to the United Nations. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.